Okay, let's get started.
Oh, wait, just a minute, partner.
No.
Guess again, freak boy.
To the Batmobile. Let's go.
AudioTU.com. Another fresh picked pod from AudioTU.com. Shutters Inc. with Shelton Muller.
Hi, and welcome to episode 47 of Shutters Inc. The man is back. Fantastic. Good to have you back, mate. How are you?
Buen dia, señor Bruce. Muy bien. I am very well, thank you. I'm still suffering a little bit of jet lag.
Oh, really?
I've never had this bad before, but I suppose because
old,
the photo.
Mate. You're getting old.
Yeah. That's right. You know, your body, your mind tells you you're 19, but your body does tell you you're 43. you know, my experience is that, you know, the adrenaline kicks in for 2 weeks, and then afterward, the reality kicks in for 2 weeks.
Yeah, right.
So, no, but it was fabulous trip. Argentina is one of the most, well, northern Argentina particularly is where we stayed and where we worked. It is one of the most incredible places I've ever seen in my life. Imagine driving for a day. We had our own private vehicle, of course, and the tour, and driving for a day and seeing almost every conceivable kind of landscape in that period. Stuff that varied from, you know, rainforest through to monument valley style stony rocky landscape. It was incredible. And if we'd stopped the amount of times that we felt the urge to stop to take photographs, we would never have been able to make our destinations in time.
Is that right?
It was incredible. And the 2 weeks that we spent there on the tour have yielded some of the most diverse images I've ever taken. Everything from, you know, like I said, a Monument Valley style landscape through to portraits of gaucho cowboys through to, you know, tango dancing in the street. Mm-hmm. It just was incredible.
Mate, they are beautiful photos.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I've actually uploaded them to my website.
I've seen that, yeah.
Yep, photographybyshelton.com. And if you go to the gallery page and click on the Argentina icon, there are 106 images there you can have a look at. And that's a fraction of what we took. And you'll see that they do vary from, you know, everything from landscape to portrait to, you know, wildlife photos of caiman crocs and capybara through to, tango dancing in the street and La Boca, where, of course, the great Maradona comes from in Buenos Aires, and many, many more kinds of images. I loved Argentina, and if any of our listeners are interested, I'm probably going to do it again next year.
Right.
It was just the place for diversity of photographs and for a lesson in how to photograph this and how to photograph that. You know, on the spot, it was, you know, extremely beneficial. The kind of photo tours that I like to run are those that offer a diversity of lessons rather than concentrating on one kind of lesson.
Sure.
You know, there are many photo tours, and I'm not criticizing any of them. I'm just saying they specialize in, say, landscape, you know, and you come away after 2 weeks and you've learned a hell of a lot about photographing landscapes. But to me, you know, if you are traveling, you're going to encounter a lot of different photo opportunities, and you want to be able to handle each one to the best of your ability.
Yeah.
Because you might not get back there again. You know, you might not have that opportunity ever again. So I like to teach as many different styles and kinds of photography as I'm possibly able to, and of course that, you know, offer themselves up while you travel. And having a look through, if you have a look through my Argentina gallery, you'll see that that's exactly what happened. So if you travel with me, you get a lot of different kinds of photos under your belt. And if you're a member of a camera club, you'll be able to enter every competition, every theme, every kind, and win. That's the most important part. You'll win because your images will be fabulous.
Absolutely.
I know the gang that came along with me, many of them, in fact, all of them, belong to camera clubs, which is smart. It's just that, to me, is just smart for enthusiast photographers. And they're going to go home now and enter every conceivable competition they can because they have almost every conceivable kind of image. It really, really was a fabulous tour. And like I say, anybody's interested, I think I'm going to go back same time next year.
The thing that blew me away, and I'll admit I haven't seen the whole 106 photos, I've only seen the ones that you sent through on the email, which was probably about 20 or 30 of them. Mm-hmm. But the thing that blew me away was how you would just look at something that seems to be a very stock standard, ordinary, everyday object and turn it into an amazing snapshot of life.
Oh, thank you.
Like the clay bowls with the coloured rug.
Okay, yep.
You know, things like that. Like, you know, I will confess that I would probably have walked straight past that and not thought to stop and photograph it. What is it inside your head that says that's a photo opportunity?
I think I'm particularly tuned to lines and textures.
Okay.
It's a good question, Bruce, and I've actually asked myself that question. I think that's what it is, that I'm no designer. If I try to design a brochure or a pamphlet for myself, I'm hopeless.
Right.
But nonetheless, I am attuned to textures and lines. And that particular scene, there's, and if you go to the website, the image that Bruce is talking about is not far into the gallery. It's of a colored blanket with clay pots in the foreground and three little sort of bamboo logs that come from the bottom corner. Now, I walked past it, and that's exactly what I saw. I saw circles with the clay pots on the ground in the foreground. Then the lines coming from the bottom right-hand corner, and then, of course, the colors and textures in the blanket behind. I just saw it, and I knew that there was a composition there.
Yeah.
I wrote an article for an Australian photography magazine here called Better Photography on the subject of leading lines,
right.
And perhaps it's something that I should do for a podcast soon,
okay.
Because I didn't realize until I was writing that article how much I rely and use leading lines in my images. And that image itself with the three, you know, or the bamboo or whatever it is, I can't remember, coming from the bottom right-hand corner was to me a leading line from a bottom corner. And I just immediately went there. And I think that's the kind of thing I'm attuned to more than I thought.
I'd say that was also evident in the sunrise from the boat. The leading lines in that are just gorgeous.
Well, thank you. With the boat in the foreground?
Well, you're inside the boat.
That's right, yeah. And I just saw that because I was sitting, I had these lines in front of me going up the canal toward the sunset, and this blue boat in front, blue boat's bow in front of me. So I just did it. I suppose everybody has their own vision. I traveled with, you know, I traveled with seven other people, each of whom saw everything so differently.
Sure.
And some of them saw it better than I did, and that's to be expected. They still look to me for leadership, you know, where to stand and what to do and to take the initiative in doing this, that, and the other. But when we would compare images, you know, in the backs of our cameras during the trip, you know, in the van or in the, over dinner or whatever, we all saw the same thing so differently. There's some images of a gaucho cowboy that I have standing in a door way.
Yep.
And we each saw that photograph differently. I asked the cowboy to stand there, and because I liked the door, the geometrics of the door, and him as a human element, and I stood directly in front so that the lines would be square on. But the others stood around to my left and to my right.
Okay.
Now maybe that's because I was hogging the best place, but I took I did admittedly take my picture, show them I got it set up for everyone, showed them how it was done, and then took my picture and got out of the way.
Right.
But they still didn't move. To be quite honest with you, I prefer mine, but they each got their own take on the image. And that's part of being, I suppose, human beings and photographers. Yeah. We all see things different ways.
Well, I've often commented on how every human hears things differently because of the shape of our bodies and whatnot. So I suppose visual input is exactly the same.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I was talking to a well-known jazz trumpeter here, James Morrison, you know, James Morrison, and he loves photography, and I was interviewing him for the magazine on the subject, and I asked him why musicians are often very interested in photography and very good at it, and why photographers are often interested in music and sometimes very good at it, and he said it's because musicians hear and photographers see. And that, I thought, was a very succinct but accurate answer. I will listen to a piece of music, and each time I listen to it, let's say, to me, I love Baker Street by Jerry Rafferty.
Yep.
It's an old song.
Yep.
But each time I listen to that song, I hear different elements of it. I might listen to the song and hear the congas. Then the next time I'll listen to the song and I'll hear the strings. The time after that, I'll listen for the guitars, both acoustic and electric. And I'll pull that song apart and realize just how much has gone into it to make the end result greater than the sum of its parts.
Yeah.
And that's the same with an image. And that's what James Morrison was saying, that we see, and this I suppose goes back to your question on the blanket and the clay pots, we see and we combine different elements to form something that is greater than the sum of its parts. The viewer might look at it and say, isn't that great, little realizing, you know, the elements that have combined to form something, you know, that you say, isn't that a great picture? And that's what photographers and musicians do. I think that's perhaps another answer to the question you framed before.
Mm. A while back you said you were comparing photos on the backs of your cameras, which prompted me to think, were there any members of the tour that were shooting film?
Only one.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Out Tony, of 12 people?
There was eight of us.
Eight.
And only one was shooting film. Right. And that's Tony. We picked on him endlessly about it. We had a good laugh. We kept saying, oh, show us your pictures, Tony. Show us your pictures. And he'd turn the back of his camera around and go, oh, there you go. And I said, oh, it's a bit dark, mate. You know, it's a bit dark.
It's a bit more exposure.
Yeah, it's a bit underexposed, buddy. And we'd just laugh. But he does that for a reason. He just prefers film, and he loves the dark room and all that kind of stuff. So that's his way, and that's fine. I don't know that he'll ever change. But the rest of us were shooting digital SLRs. I had with me my D100 and D200. I had my Sony 823, the one that I've often spoken of.
Right.
I had on my hip, I had a Ricoh GR Digital, and I want to talk about that little camera in a minute. And my wife, Kerry, had her D70 with her. So between us, we had quite a few cameras. You know, all my images were captured on the D200 and the Ricoh that you'll see on the website. That is a fabulous camera. The GR Digital, I was asked by Ricoh to take it away with me and shoot with it and use it which I did as a bit of a street camera.
Yep.
And I thought, well, it's got a 28mm equivalent fixed focal length. And I thought, oh, well, that's going to be a little difficult to work with. I like to be able to, you know, move, zoom in and zoom out with a compact. But I actually found that knowing how the camera saw was a comfort for me.
Right.
I would pick the camera up and I'd immediately know how it was going to see what was before me, and I would position myself accordingly. And on this podcast, we've often spoke about the benefits of prime focal lengths, you know, fixed focal length lenses. And this proved it to me. Here I am, an advocate of fixed focal length, you know, lenses, and I was a little disappointed that the camera I was using had a fixed focal length lens. And then I realized, no, hang on, get back to what you're talking about. You practice what you preach. But this camera is just awesome.
What was the aperture range on it?
2.4 to 9,
oh,
f9.
Nice.
And it's fully, the GR Digital is designed really for enthusiasts and professionals who want a compact camera to, you know, on their hip that they can whip out anytime, but it offers you complete control. Two dials for shutter speeds and apertures, live histograms so you can, you know, it's just fabulous. And the lens on the thing is to die for. It is so sharp.
2.4 is nice at the wide end, but 9's not very narrow.
Because the smaller sensor size, f9 is got the equivalent depth of field of what, say, a 35mm camera would at f32. So,
oh, is that right?
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, okay. And if they actually make smaller apertures, it starts to get physically impossible with the small sensor size, and also a lot of diffraction occurs, which does, you know, so you get, they have to sort of balance it off. But there's really no need, because at f9, you have really as much depth of field as you want. You may need a smaller aperture for brighter conditions. That's about the end, but I never encountered that. In fact, to be honest with you, most of the time, being a candid street style camera, I was quite happy that I had the f2.4 rather than you know, anything at the other end that I needed to worry about. So it was, if you're looking for a street camera, you know, something to give you those Henri Cartier-Bresson style candids, then the Ricoh GR Digital is for you. It's a great, great little camera, and I would highly recommend it. It's the kind of camera you have to get used to because it has a fixed focal length and it's a compact. But I found that extremely comforting, I must admit, knowing how the thing saw and setting up myself in accordance to my subject, in relation to my subject accordingly. So have a look at it, and if you own one out there or you're looking at one, let me know what you think. But I really enjoyed it, and some of the images you'll see on the website were taken with it. In fact, one of the blanket shot that you mentioned with the clay pots was taken with the Ricoh GR Digital.
Is that right?
I was in a marketplace and I was just buying some stuff, and I don't think I had my SLR on me because I was just taking 10 minutes out to buy some stuff, you know, have a look in a local marketplace, and it was midday light and that kind of thing. So I used that camera to grab that shot, and there's another one of a fellow standing in a doorway with, you know, blankets and things outside. Yep. That was also taken with the GR Digital, and he didn't even know I was taking it because I was just standing there and fiddling with my camera, and you know, he didn't even know I was taking it. So it's a great street camera. It really, really is.
I've got to ask, who took the portrait of you?
Bob Cook took the portrait of me. He was one of the fellas on the tour.
The nice shot.
Thank you. Do you like the new goatee that I was sporting?
Yeah,
it's gone now.
Right.
Because I was missing kissing my wife.
I'm sure Kerry said that's gone when we leave Argentina.
It did. But I thought, you know,
the rear side lighting that he had. I don't know if it was a flash or what it was.
No, it was just I set up a portrait session in a horse shed that the gauchos used to saddle their horses and keep their gear hanging up, and I loved the fact that you could walk in that shed at any time of day and the light was even because it was a three-sided shed and the light would just come in and bounce around.
Wow.
And I actually did a portrait session of the fellow who owned the estancia or the ranch that we stayed on, Marco.
Right.
I did a portrait session of him, and it's on the website, in that shed. Bob just grabbed a quick picture of me in that shed with my, as one friend of mine called it, the porn star look, you know, me with the goatee. I said, you can almost hear the wah-wah guitar, you know, wow. But it's off now. I'm back to my normal clean shaven self and able to kiss my wife again, which, you know, you want to be able to do.
And the one other shot I wanted to ask you about, there's a shot of a sort of a valley and a road sign.
Mm-hmm.
Is there flash on that road sign?
Yes. Off-camera flash. That's the Las Ventanas image.
That's it.
And it was in that rocky monument valley style place. In fact, it was a place a little before that called El Paso, which I thought interesting.
Oh, Marty Robbins.
Down in the West Texas town of El Paso. Yeah. And we all just broke into
That'll
song.
That'll be the first and last time you hear singing on Shutters Inc., people. Yes, I'm telling you now.
We should have done that as a harmony group. But we all broke into song in the van, actually. We passed this sign, El Paso, you know, down in the West, and off we went. It was taken with off-camera flash. I held the flash out with my left hand. I had the camera on a tripod and held it out with my left hand and just to illuminate the sign. And I just like the idea of it, that's all.
Yeah.
And I often used off-camera flash. There's a picture of Rojas, who was a gaucho cowboy, standing. It's on the website. He's standing in front of a sunset on Parana River.
Oh, that was beautiful.
Yeah, thank you. And there's one of him actually illuminated in front of the sunset, and that was also taken with off-camera flash. I had our guide hold the flash off to my right, and I stood at his feet, or crouched at his feet, and photographed upward at him with the sun behind him, and then illuminated him with the Nikon ITTL off-camera flash. And it was a great picture, and the balance of exposure there was all done TTL with the camera. Thank you very much.
Lovely.
Very, very easy to do. I also took a new lens away with me, and I was very impressed with it, the Tamron 17-50 2.8, which beautiful. Constant 2.8 and 17-50, which 35 mil equivalent is like a 28-75, but you know, it's an f/2.8 the whole way through, and I use that lens all the time because it was just such a great range.
I was going to say that it'd almost be your new favorite over your 85, wouldn't it?
I still live in my 85, but that, admittedly, that lens was the one that if I had that on my camera for, okay, just in case anything happens, I'm covered. And the image of the gaucho cowboy in the doorway, and many others were taken with that lens. It was my, yeah, it was my carry around, this is the lens I'll have to be ready, lens that I had. And it's sharp, and it's just such a good lens. We'll have to get back to the Tamron people and let them know that something terrible happened to their lens and they're not getting it back. As I will with the Ricoh people, something awful, just awful. So you should have seen it. It was just a disaster. And I'm sorry, but you're not getting the camera back. But really, really great stuff. But it was the trip to Argentina was, it taught me, there was a little occasion. I'm going to send you a couple of JPEGs, and I hope you don't mind me talking about this. I don't know if you've got any more questions for me, Bruce. You probably do about images, but
hundreds, matey. But I'm sure the listeners will all go and look at the photos, and we'll, you know, and if anyone's got any questions about the photos that, you know, Shelton's taken, by all means, send them through, and we can discuss them in future weeks.
So. Yes, that's for sure. There are so many lessons there to be learned in those images, and so many things that I learned. There was one occasion, this was, I think, our first morning. We flew into Buenos Aires. We had a quick sleep in a hotel. Then we were up real early to catch another plane up to the north, and we landed in a town called Salta.
Right.
From there, we grabbed our van, and off we went. And within a short period of time, we were in this rocky landscape, this desert landscape. And we came across this fellow standing in a doorway by the side of the road in a lone mud brick house that he lived in all alone. And we just said, the first thing I said to everybody on the bus as we took off was, okay, the rule is if one person yells stop, we stop. You know, that's the rule.
Fair
because
enough.
Everybody has the right to take the pictures they want to take. So the stop rule was applied, almost immediately. And here's this old man standing in his doorway in a mud brick home surrounded by chickens and sheds and stuff just by the side of the road. And I think it was me who actually applied the first stop rule. Stop! So the van pulls over and 10 people get out. 8 photographers, a guide, and a driver.
Yep.
And this poor fellow's inundated. Our guide went up to him and spoke to him in Spanish. His name was Antonio. And we said, can we take your picture? Now, I learned something here, and I taught it to the group immediately, and this is the question that I want to pose to all our listeners. What is more important, light or location? And I'm going to put a couple of images to you, Bruce, that you can put up on the audio2u.com website.
Sure.
That prove this point. What is more important, light or location? Where the gentleman was standing was in a doorway, and the door was open, and behind him, of course, was black, just black, because his house inside was very dark, not illuminated by windows or anything particular. And he was in the shadow part of his house. The light was behind, and he was therefore standing in the shadow. So the light on him was reflected by everything around him and nicely illuminating him. And behind him was just the blackness of the inside of his house. So naturally we had to meter for his face so we wouldn't overexpose and that kind of thing we talked about as we were photographing him. And then, posing him and all that kind of thing. He was very obliging considering he was suddenly inundated by 8 photographers. And
paparazzi.
Yeah, what is he? What happened? But we gave him a few pesos and he had his eye on the bananas that we bought to eat in the van as we drove. So we gave him those as well. But light or location is dependent on several factors, and I think what's the point you're trying to convey? To me, the answer is, what is more important? Light, not location. And I've often said this, especially about wedding photography. I do my philosophy with wedding photography is find the light and put them in it. And that's quite simple. Find the light and put them in it. And I think this point that I'm going to send you 2 pictures, and you'll see the difference in them. We took some photographs around the shadow side of the house, and then one member of the tour said, I really like the context and all the stuff that's going on behind his house. It's really cool. But behind his house was direct sunlight.
Yeah.
And very hard and very contrasty. And the images you'll see, and I suggest everybody come to the website and have a look, you'll see the difference between where I suggested he stand and where another member on the tour asked him to stand after we'd finished. Now, I'm not criticizing anybody. Everybody has the right to set up their pictures and, do what they wish. But to me, I think, to be honest, in this particular case, what was more important was him standing in the right light rather than him standing in a location or a context that they thought was more interesting. If you can only have one of the two, I would always suggest that you choose light over location. We write with light. That's what the word photography means from the Greek. We write with light. And light, therefore, is our first, you know, it's our key thing, and not necessarily location. There's a website here called ozmodel.com, ozmodel.com, and I if I need a front cover model for the magazine or whatever, I'll go there because they're agency free and I don't have to pay these huge fees to hire a model. And I noticed that a lot of the photographers who do the portfolios for these models, they'll take a model and they'll say, look, we've taken her down to this fabulous location and la 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 la, let's make sure that we get everything in the shot so we can see the model, we can see this fabulous location. And all you do as you're looking at this image is your eye is darting all over the place, yeah, trying to find something to stop on. You know, I mean, she's a beautiful girl, but everything's in focus. Everything, you've put too much in the picture. Everything's in focus. My eye is darting all over the place. When really, what the photographer should have done is said, well, okay, it's a great location, but what I've got to do is put her in the right light, and then I've got to highlight her as the subject, and the rest is irrelevant. And yep, the two photos that I'll send you of this old man Antonio, to me, spell that out. You don't even need to have a beautiful model to make to highlight a subject. You can do it with an old man standing in a doorway and still make a great picture.
Absolutely.
So I maintain that light is more important than location. And try that when you're doing your portraits. You know, try that when you're setting up anything, a landscape. You know, you can have a boring landscape in the most beautiful light, and you could have a great landscape in rotten light. And yeah, I know, I'll tell you now which
the
shot
first one will be preferring. The better one. Yeah,
the first one will be the better one. And the first day of our tour, it was a lesson that I hope the others learned. I know I was reminded of it, and I hope the others learned that as well, because it applies to every time you take a picture. So I'll send those two images through, and have a look at them, and you'll see exactly what I mean.
Definitely. Well, mate, you missed some fun and games while you were away.
Uh-huh.
I got a phone call from Ilysis, my hosting service in Perth. Monday, was it a week? It must have been Monday fortnight ago. And they said, "Oh, look, you're really over your bandwidth." And like, I'd known this for about 12 months. And
oops.
And they said, look, you know, it's our fault for not having jumped on this sooner, but, you know, from tomorrow, we're going to start charging you excess bandwidth.
Oh.
And I went, oh, okay. And I said, how much is that going to be? And he said, well, you're currently paying $140 a year, and based on the amount of traffic you're driving, we should be charging you about $1,400 per month.
Oops.
So it was like, oh, okay.
We're just a little too popular, aren't
we,
Bruce?
Yeah, so I had to move to new servers, and so the website was in various stages of disarray for about 5 days, and so we're now hosted in Canada, and
oh, are we?
We are, but
so yeah. How does a Canadian spell Canada? You don't know?
Let me guess. C A N A D, eh?
Yeah, no, it's C A N A. D-A.
Oh. Okay, I was close.
Yeah, you're close.
I figured it had something to do with the A on the end.
Yeah, C-A-N-A-E-A.
However, one good thing that I do have to tell everyone, we have managed to secure a whole bunch of GorillaPods to give away.
They're a great little thing, too.
I mean, I haven't seen one physically. I've only seen the shots of them, but they look like a fantastic idea. So I have yet to decide on the actual mechanics of the giveaway, but check out the Shutters Inc. page, because by the time this podcast goes up on Sunday night, I will have it sorted out.
Yeah.
And we got 20 of them to give away, Shelton. There's one for you and one for me.
Oh, great.
And 18 for the listeners, so...
All right. Well, we should get paid something for doing this podcast, and if it's a Gorilla Pod, that's fine.
Absolutely.
We'll make it the Gorilla Podcast. Yeah,
yeah, why not? All right, mate. Well, it's been good to talk to you. I'm glad you had a great time.
Thank you.
And I love the photos. I'm going to go and check out your website. I won't bother putting the 20 or 30 that you sent me up on audiotier.com, seeing as how you've got the full gallery on your site.
Yeah.
I'll just put a new link to your site on the Shutters Inc. page so people can link through to your gallery.
No worries. And I'll send you through those images. I want everybody to have a look at them.
That'd be great.
Light or location? There's your choice.
Yeah. Beautiful. All right, mate, we will look forward to talking with you next week.
I look forward to it too, and hello to everybody, and it's nice to be back.
Cool. See you, mate.
Thanks, mate. Bye.
You've been listening to another Fresh Picked Pod from audiotu.com. Audio2U delivers the best quality podcasts direct to your desktop or portable.
You be the boss.
Hear what you want to hear.
When you want to hear it.
Hey, now that's a good idea.
Audio2U.com. Hit us today.
And remember,
Control-D to bookmark.
Audio2U.com.